Christ King.
Good morning, everyone online with our C2K family. I'm Kyle, as Bill said.
I'm Ellie.
And awesome to bring the word to you this morning. Ellie's been ready for this since she was little. She's shared messages at Crux, but then also on some Facebook stuff, I've seen her sharing the words, and you were like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
So God's been doing the work. So as we jump into this new series, I want to ask, have you ever wondered why God hasn't given you clear direction on something? On a phase of your life, on a job, on your next chapter, on a school, on a crisis, in a relationship, why God hasn't given you a clear green light or red light? Maybe those questionable moments make us question our own relationship with God. Of, is there something wrong with me? Do I not have enough faith? Have I not gone to church enough, or prayed enough, or read enough of the Bible? Is there something wrong with me because I just can't get clear direction? We want to break that and see how God is a faithful God who wants to lead us in clear direction and clear paths. As we dive into the faithfulness of God, we want to see how he's faithful, how sometimes we've thought, because we live in a world where we're sometimes used to unfaithfulness, it's hard to believe that there's actually someone out there, our God, who is perfectly faithful. And he cannot deny himself. He cannot be unfaithful. But we might not believe that 100% because maybe we haven't experienced that fully ourselves. So we're going to dive into that and see what the Spirit does to free us and bring some encouragement and bring some life of how he's a faithful God.
So our verse for the next couple of weeks for the series is from Psalms 89:8. And it says, "Who is like you, O Lord, God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you." So I want to ask you, where do you feel like you need direction right now? Is it in finding a new job? Is it a new career? Which school to go to? Who to be friends with? What relationships you might have? Well, who's declaring that direction? Is it you, your friends, your kids? We tend to live in a self-help time where you want to find the answer in yourself. You want to figure out what school to go to, what career to take, what job to pick, which jobs to apply for, who to be friends with. We want to do it all for ourselves. But when we do that, we lose out on so much. Because sometimes it feels like God gives us yellow lights, just a continual line of yellow lights along the road, instead of a clear direction of a red light or a green light. But sometimes God doesn't tell us stop or go. Sometimes he says, he gives you a yellow light, and you don't know what to do with it.
And have you ever asked the question, God, what's your will for my life? When we ask that question, we normally want to know, God, what do you want for me for the next 5 years? What do you want for me for the next 10 years? What do you want for me for this next year? What is your will for my life? But what if he just wants your attention for 20 minutes and then he can take you somewhere? And so what if we think about direction differently?
So one way God's been faithful to me is he's helped me gain wisdom, make better choices, walk away from things that were hurting myself, others around me, and my relationship with God. So I'm a senior this year, so middle school really wasn't that far away from me. So when I was in 12, when I was in sixth grade, I started playing volleyball. And that was my passion. That was the thing that lit me up. I was excited to do it. I was in the gym 5 days a week working out, getting stronger and better for this sport that I loved. And I had this dream of playing in high school, playing off through high school, getting to D1 school, and just playing my heart out. But the thing is, I was chasing my own desires and my own pride of wanting the accolade of, I went to D1, I played that high level. And I had kind of forgotten that that's not what defines my worth and my value and my performance. Instead, I should have been chasing what God's desire was for me, what he wanted, and what his value in me is, and that I am innately created as a child of God, and it's not tied to my performance. I have a quote here from Sarah L. Richter. She's a theologian, and I've had to read a couple of her books for theology classes that I've taken, but she has one quote from there that kind of sums up that mindset that I was in, and it goes, "Something about the fallen human heart compels us to attempt to make ourselves good enough for God before we feel free to embrace his offer of love for us." And that's kind of where I've struggled with a lot. trying to make myself good enough and clean enough for God before I can accept his love. But the thing is, that's not how it works. His love's always there. And even when I was playing volleyball and wound up being the only homeschooler on a public school team, and then the only freshman starter, so no one liked me, I'll be honest. And so I kind of got bullied that entire season, and it took a huge toll on me emotionally of all these people I wanted to be friends with coming in, like, yeah, let's be friends, we're a team, let's do this together, let's be competitive together and make each other better. Iron sharpens iron, right? And then to be hit with immediate rejection of, no, we don't like you, you're different, you're not like us, and we feel threatened by that. And so it hurt, and then I sustained a couple of injuries during that season as well that ended my chances of playing competitively. I sprained my ankle so badly that it can't hold up to any kind of jumping anymore. So there goes my D1 dreams. Now what do I do? And during that time of that hurt, God gave me a calling to ministry in July of 2020, and he told me that my desires of playing D1, he's like, no, not for you. But instead, he gave me this calling to go into equine ministry, combining equine therapy and biblical counseling to serve survivors of sex trafficking and domestic violence. And so the thing is, I told him, no, someone else can do that. Who says no to God? Me, apparently. Because, you know.
We all do.
Pride's a thing we're working on. So I told him no. I said, no, this is my dream. These are my goals, my desires, my pride. And instead, he's like, no. And he had to take away volleyball for me to fully realize the calling he was giving me, for me to follow in that.
So as she said, God is faithful when we make our own decisions, when we try to make our own path. If I asked you to fill in that blank, how has God been faithful to you? God is faithful to me by what? Fill in the blank for you. Maybe it was when I made my own path. Maybe it was when I was stumbling just through life. Maybe it was when I was just in a whole world of sin. Maybe it was when I've just made dumb decisions. We've all been there. That was something that I heard a lot when I was asking people, how has God been faithful to you? Like, man, God has been faithful to me when I've made a lot of dumb decisions, hasn't he? Amen. And whether that's like me when you go to church camp and you bring your water balloon launcher to shoot water balloons at everybody from the back during the volleyball tournament, and then just to go find them in chapel a few minutes later soaking wet, or if that's just in the decisions of life when we've just surrounded ourselves with sin, with the wrong environments, the wrong places, and the wrong people, instead of being surrounded, as the verse said, by the faithfulness of God which surrounds him.
And God's been faithful to me by never letting me go, even when I let him go. When I was in the middle of all that hurt from volleyball and that bullying, I'll be honest, I gave up on God. I didn't know how a good, perfect, loving God could let a child of his hurt that much. Like, why would you let this happen to me, Lord? Why wouldn't you change this? Why wouldn't you let me be treated better? And I didn't have an answer. I couldn't find answers for that. And it took me a long time to kind of realize what that purpose of that pain was, because there is always a purpose to pain. And God's faithful through it all. He never gave up on me or let me go, and his love was steadfast and enduring, just like he promises it will be.
God is faithful through it all, even when we've let him go, amen? And so for the main passage, when we're looking for guidance, when we're looking for direction, and we want to see him show up and give us that clear answer of what to do next, there's some answers in Scripture. But before we get into it, it's coming from Psalm 32, which was a psalm that David wrote actually after committing the affair with Bathsheba and murdering her husband Uriah, trying to cover it up, and he was filled with guilt and shame later on. And he writes Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 from this place of guilt. And Psalm 32 actually begins with saying, there's this guilt and sin just weighing on me day and night, and it's just weighing me down. I can't get away from it. But then I confessed my sin before you, and you forgave me of all my trespasses. And then he throws this verse in there that it doesn't seem like it fits in a psalm of confession and justification, but God has some neat things that he shows in Scripture of how it all connects and ties together. So from Psalms 32, verses 8 and 9, think about this.
It reads, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you.
So, good thing that, as Ellie said, equine therapy, that's horse therapy, if you don't know. Like, I didn't know that for most of the time. And we have some lessons up here to explain from our faithful horse expert of basically explaining this psalm of what God is really saying amidst all of this.
So, how many of you know donkey's reputation for being stubborn? You know the saying, stubborn as a mule, stubborn as a donkey? Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret about equines. And the thing is, most of the time, when donkeys are being stubborn, it's just because they're scared in reality. When donkeys feel threatened or unsure about what's ahead of them, they plant their feet and they refuse to move. If they don't know that 100% that it will be safe going forward, they just won't go. And so David was kind of like that coming to God. He didn't want to go because he was scared of God's judgment. But God doesn't want to have to drag us along, like haul on the lead rope and drag a 400-pound animal along behind you. He'd rather you just come with him willingly because that's when he can give you direction more easily. And so I've got a bridle here. I don't know how many of y'all been around horses before, but this is a bridle. This is what you use to guide a horse. It goes on their head when you're riding them. This goes on behind their ears, on their forehead, behind their chin, over their nose, and then this bit goes in their mouth. This is where the direction comes from. These reins are attached to the bit, and when you want to go right, you pull on the right rein. It applies pressure to the bit inside the horse's mouth and moves their head that way, and they will follow that direction. At least, that's the goal. Working with animals, it's never a safe bet. But if the horse is listening to the rider, you don't have to use as much pressure. If I want the horse to go this way and they're trying to go that way, I'm going to grab this rein and I'm going to drag them because that's the way you need to go. But if I pull just a little bit and they move, I can let go of the reins and then they've moved and we've accomplished our purpose. And so it sounds fairly simple, right? Pull right to go right, pull left to go left. But again, we're working with animals. It's never that easy. So horses have almost 360-degree vision, wide-angle panoramic, think like 4K HD vision. These guys can see pretty much everything, with two exceptions, directly in front of them and directly behind them. So those are their two blind spots. So that means they can't see the rider on their back. They can't see the person giving them direction. They just have to trust what they're receiving from the rider. And the same is true with our relationship with God. We can't see what's ahead of us. We don't know what our future holds. But God, who's the one giving direction, he's the one who can see. He knows everything that's going laid out. He knows the plan and the path that he's going to take you on. It's just a matter of submitting to that pressure of, let's go right, let's go left. And that's why trust and communication is vital. Because when there's a relationship between the horse and the rider, the horse will align itself with the rider's will with much less resistance.
So I hope you were able to understand that without me putting it on, because Ellie was kind enough to be able to do it that way instead of the other way. And I realized when I read this psalm, I wanted God to yank me, because I was like, well, I don't want to make the wrong decision, or I'm afraid of making the wrong decision. And sometimes we want God to put this on us and yank us to make the right decision, but he's like, no. That's for someone that I don't know, right? That's when a horse and its rider don't have a strong enough relational connection yet to know each other's wills. But when we know the will of our Father, we don't need him to yank us left and right like a new rider has to do with this horse. And so he is good. He is faithful to direct us. Even when you're wondering, why don't I get that red light or green light? Well, maybe he just feels that you have enough connection, or maybe you need to first make that connection with him that you've never made before. When you're looking for him to yank you left and right, he's saying, no, that's not who I am, because I'm a faithful, good, gentle guide for you. And think about that passage where it said, I will guide you with my eye upon you. You know when you go to that dinner party and you're ready to leave and you look at your friends or your family members or your significant other and you just give them that look of, okay, I'm tired, it's time to go. And hopefully you don't have that southern goodbye where it's 10 minutes to the door, then 15 minutes more to get to the car. But a good relationship, the other person will know your looks. The other person will know when you're having a good day or the worst day that you've had, just by the way you give them the looks. With a good relationship, you don't need words. You can just give each other the looks. And God is saying, let me guide you with my eye upon you. You keep your eyes on me. Even when you have blind spots in front of you, even when you can't see fully what's in front of you or behind you, trust me, I will be the rider to guide you with my eye upon you when you don't feel like you have your eye upon what is next.
And so Proverbs 16:9 is a verse that's always been near and dear to my heart. It's something that's been very applicable to my life. And it reads, the heart of a person plans their way, but the Lord establishes their steps. So if you're anything like me, you're a planner. Don't know where I get that from, Mom. but freshman year of high school, I had a spreadsheet with lists of colleges. I started touring colleges in 9th grade because I liked having a plan. I'd show up, I'd meet with the admission counselor. They'd be like, okay, so are you ready to move into the fall? You know, you're a senior, let's get ready. And I'm like, I'm a freshman. And the response I always got was, well, then why are you here? Because there's no need to be starting planning that early, apparently. No one told me. but I had a plan with the next decade of my life on it in a spreadsheet of this. I wanted to be an equine veterinarian, so working with horses. Still, that's always been a thing for me. And so I had undergrad planned out, vet school, residencies, internships, all leading up to my own practice eventually. And then God's like, yeah, no, different calling. We got new plans for you. But he's like, let's use these gifts and this talent that I've given you for horses and for healing, and let's flip it 180 degrees from what you want to what I want. And instead of expanding your kingdom and your name, let's expand mine.
So whether you're a planner, like Ellie or myself, or more spontaneous, is God your guide in those decisions? Is God the planner for you, or is God the one to say yes to opportunities for you before you say yes to every opportunity in your spontaneity? Is God the one to guide you in those next steps? Because God is faithful to direct you. And maybe instead of being so concerned or putting so much of our prayer life on, God, show me what to do, show me what to do, tell me yes or tell me no and I'll do it, we can be focused more on action than just direction. Seeing, okay, how can I just start serving now where I'm at? How can I just start being faithful to God where I'm at, even though I don't have a clear direction for what's next? Just start where you're at. And if you don't know what your purpose is, our starting point as sons and daughters of God always goes back to this, what I call GC squared, which is living the great commandment, which is
to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself.
And living out the great commission
to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations.
So if we don't know what our purpose is, that's our starting point. Is this going to help me love God and love others as myself? And is this going to help me make disciples, share Jesus with others? That's it. Great command, great commission. GC squared. Great command, great commission. Start there. Is this job going to help me love God and love others better? Is it going to help me share Jesus with others better? Or is it going to take away from that? Is this relationship going to help me love God and love others better? Or is it going to hurt that? Is it going to allow me to share Jesus with others better? That's our starting point. And then how we do that, whether it's horse therapy, whether it's preaching, whether it's being faithful as a parent, whether it is just reaching one friend for Jesus, whatever it may be, just start with those two things. And then God will add direction as we take action.
In Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist writes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And that's the promise God has for us, that he will be our light and our direction and our guide. Because if you think about it, if you're holding like a lamp or a lantern, it's not a 100-yard flashlight where you can see all the way down. It shows you the next step, one foot in front of the other. It's not the whole path at a time, because in reality, we don't need to know that. That's not for us to know. That's for God to know and to guide us along. All we need to know is one next step, one after the other.
And a lot of us wish, man, if God could just give me a vision of what to do on this decision, it would just be so much easier. If God just yanked me, it'd be so much easier. But may we not realize that it's not a matter of there's something wrong with us. It's a matter of, do we know how God wants to do it first? He doesn't want to yank us, right? Maybe it's just rethinking and letting God renew our mind, how we've thought of him, how we've prayed to him. Maybe can we go to him for more than just direction? Do we go to him for praise and thankfulness? And so he is our lamp. He is our light for those next steps. And we see Jesus is always the answer, right? And Jesus is our guide. Well, how? Well, Jesus said in John 8 that he's going to be our light, just like Psalm 119 says. But this connects so powerfully to Psalm 32, because Psalm 32 was about confession, then justification, being right with God, then direction. John 8, there's a scene here. The woman caught in adultery is brought before the Pharisees and Jesus. They try to test Jesus and trap him. And they say, what are you going to do? Stone her for her sin? Or let her go and disobey our law? And Jesus turns to her, and he says these powerful words, but there was something he said first before he gave her direction. So this thing that happens before direction is given.
So Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more. And then again, Jesus spoke to them. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
When I was looking this up, I was just looking up, where's that light of the light? Where's that light of the world passage? And I found, oh my gosh, it's the same thing as Psalm 32. There's sin brought before God. What's between us, God, needs to be dealt with, to the point where both people were met with the possibility of the stones, of, I don't know how God's going to react. I don't know how this person I sinned against is going to react, or these people who are judging me are going to react. But that's the first step towards freedom. It's letting go of that fear of other people and God's reactions and letting it go into God's hands, the perfect, faithful God and judge. And he says what? I don't condemn you. I'm not picking up any stones, even though I know you've sinned. You're caught red-handed. But let me give you direction. Go and sin no more. Don't go back to that, because I just know that's going to cause you more hurt, more pain, and more destruction. And then he says, look at me to give you direction, because I'm the light of the world. Follow me and you won't walk in darkness. You won't walk in confusion and you won't walk in misdirection any longer, because you will have the light of life to be the lamp to your next steps. So maybe God doesn't want to give you a supernatural revelation of which school to pick because he wants you to trust him in the next steps. Maybe he doesn't give you a supernatural revelation of which job to say yes or no to or which house to apply to because he wants you to lean on him every step of the way. And maybe when we acknowledge our own misdirection, Jesus can be faithful to give us direction.
So if there's anything you leave today remembering, I want you to remember this. God is faithful to direct you. He will guide and direct your steps so that you can fulfill his purpose for you. Not your own purpose, but his. And sometimes when we look back, we'll see bumps in the road. Sometimes there's guardrails that we will hit and then bounce back on to the path. If I'm driving and I look over to the left and I get distracted and I swerve and I hit a guardrail, it's gonna hurt, right? I might total my car. I might get whiplash, might get bruised a little bit. But I didn't go over the edge. It might hurt to hit a guardrail and a barrier, but it's protecting us from even greater hurt. And it's the same with God's plan for our life. If we're asking him for direction, but we swerve and we go try to chase our own will, he'll bump us back in. It might not be pleasant, but he is faithful to redirect us. And there's a verse that's always been near and dear to my heart. I know I've said that twice, but there's a lot of great verses out there. But this one has hit home for me, and it comes from Ephesians 2:10, and it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared in advance for us to do. That means from the beginning of time, before the world existed, God had a plan for you and a plan for me laid out from day one to the very last day. There's never been a moment where he didn't have a plan for you. It's always been there, and it's just a question of if we can follow it. Because when we follow Jesus, our lives automatically align to his purpose and his will for us, and that results in us living out his purposes and reflecting his love and his light to those around us.
So if you've felt that there's something wrong with you because you haven't gotten clear direction from God yet, be encouraged. If you've thought that you didn't have enough faith because you haven't gotten a clear direction, be encouraged. If you thought that you're going to be afraid of making the wrong decision and swaying off from his path, be encouraged. When we acknowledge our misdirection, he is faithful to give us direction. He is a faithful God. And so may we look to him and keep our gaze on him, recognizing he's the writer and he's the leader of our lives, not us. We're not the writer trying to direct God on where to go to take us. He's the writer directing us where to go because he sees what you and I can't. He sees the pits that we're going to lead ourselves into, go and sin no more. And he sees the beauty that he wants to lay in front of us that we couldn't even imagine, right? And it's inexpressible what he has planned for us. And so when you follow Jesus, like Ellie said, good works will follow you. Ephesians 2:10, good works will follow you as you follow him. So what if we can gaze upon Jesus, not just when we want him to give us direction or when we want him to do something for us, but just because he's faithful and we love him, right? We can gaze upon him all the time, not just when we need something from him.
Mm-hmm. So Psalm 25:12 reads, "Who are those who fear the Lord? The Lord will show them the path they will choose." And this is a promise from God. When we have a healthy respect for the Lord, when we are, have a good relationship with him, one of trust and communication, he will show us where to go. He will guide us and direct us and show us the path we should take. And so as we close, I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness and for never letting us go, Lord. You've been steadfast and you've stood by our side through the highs and the lows. From every mountain to every valley, Lord, you have been faithful to guide us. Lord, we confess all the times that we are not faithful to you, that we put our own pride and our own desires and our own will over what you have for our lives. Father, we ask that you would give us direction and give us the peace and the trust and the confidence in you to trust your direction and to ask you for it, Father. Pray this over each and every person in this room, Lord, and everyone watching online, that they would come to know what you have for them, Lord, and that you would guide them through these next steps, whether it's something big or something small, Lord, but guide us into faithfulness to you because we know that you are faithful to us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.